Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started off with Disney's Haunted Mansion, and that's the second version of it. Major spoiler alert for that one. We then watched A24's new horror film, Talk to Me. We actually don't go into spoilers on this one, although we do talk about things that are seen in the trailer, but you don't have to have seen the movie for this discussion to make sense. And then finally, we watched the conclusion of Marvel's Secret Invasion. Major spoiler alert for that one. And also, because it wouldn't be obvious from the episode title, a major spoiler alert for season two of the After Party as we talk about the most recent episode. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, we started off with Haunted Mansion. The two of you are, is it fair to say Haunted Mansion people, aficionados, connoisseurs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So. Of the ride, I should be specific, not the Eddie Murphy iteration of the film. How did you feel about this latest take?
I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, Australia needed to know.
I was an aficionado of the Eddie Murphy version of this movie. Ouch. I'm dying to know what Matt thinks. So I want him to go first.
All right, Matt, you're up.
It's funny you bring up the Eddie Murphy iteration because I did rewatch it during COVID and I hated a lot less than I remember hating it, but it's not okay. Good. It's not good. But say that.
Okay.
But yeah, I actually quite enjoyed this. I thought it had issues, but I had a good time.
Yeah, same. Huh. Yeah. Because I mean, I know it has issues, like 100%. But
sure.
I think it just was such a love letter to so much of the ride too. And the like, and then it was like fleshing out mythos from the ride. And I love that shit. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then on top, I thought some of the performances were pretty funny. You know, I thought some of it didn't work obviously, but like, you know, I for the most part had a good time.
I am surprised and delighted to hear that because I saw it and I was very concerned for the two of you. Like legitimately worried about like how you were going to, because I went with Marianne, who you both know, who is also an aficionado of the ride, not the Eddie Murphy film. And you know, she I think she also thought it was fine, but she did not have the same sort of warm reaction I was hoping for her as well. And so I was like, oh boy, this is, I don't have the highest of hopes for this.
I think it comes to expectation too. Like I expected, I mean, it was starting to get me in the trailers thinking it might be fun.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, but I really did hold my expectations in check because I was like, there's a lot of ways.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, I do want to briefly touch upon the trailer because we all watched it at D23, right?
And the first one, I think.
Yeah. I remember being like, oh, this could be really good. Like, I am.
Yeah, I was also happening here. In the moment, I was like, oh, okay. But, and every trailer since, I did enjoy. So
I don't think I've watched any since, but I was impressed by the first one. But anyway, Matt, you were saying.
Yeah, no, I thought the trailers were fun. And so I was looking forward to it. Like, I was hopeful about it. But I think it definitely needed, it felt like it was like still a draft of the script. Like, I feel like it needed another like draft of it. Also another humor pass, like just it needed. Yeah.
Just like
it needed some revision,
because it was like,
well, and it needed to be tightened as a film in general. It was too long. It should not have been 2 hours and 5 minutes. This was 1 hour and 40. Like it should should have been tightened. I could have easily trimmed it, and so I could go off on things like that. But I also think it's about story wise and intention. I think it's about as good as we're going to ever get with a Haunted Mansion film. I think it's hard because everyone measures up these ride adaptation attempts that we've made on Haunted Mansion to the first Pirates, and
yeah.
The difference being that the Pirates doesn't really have a story, and you got to kind of just go and just take elements from the ride and just make a movie that was fun.
Yeah.
And it's action adventure. This is like a family ride that you need to keep a mostly family film. It's going to be scary for little kids, but it's going to be, you know, it's like it still needs to be family. So it's a harder realm to kind of go into, you know, like you got to keep the humor and you got to keep it light while also trying to have
it. And the ride itself is not. It was not meant to only be creepy, right? Like
it's funny.
Ghosts. And so it's like, you can't be faithful to the ride if you're going to do something absolutely creepy. Do I want to watch that movie? Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to see Guillermo's version. You know, I think it was Crimson Peak, kind of.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But
you know, he recycled some of that into Crimson Peak.
I think this is what Guillermo would have done, is this kind of thing. Yes, I don't think, like, I think Crimson Peak wouldn't exist had he made his film. But I think that, like, this is what he would have done.
I would have
approved a Crimson Peak level movie.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. And this is my thing. This is why I don't think he ever would have done it, because at the end of the day, it would have just been a creative difference that was not, they were not able to resolve. I was shocked that it got a PG-13 rating, because I was like, who is this for, was my question. Because I can't remember if I told them about you this already, and this will play into Talk to Me in a bit, but I got a little bit scared at the jump scare in the beginning where, like, you know, there's the ghost in the bedroom. I was like, oh no. And I am someone who is very easily frightened and had already been, you know, scared from another film. But I was like, that, if I was a little kid, I would have been terrified by that, because a jump scare is just like such a visceral, cheap ploy, but it'll get you anyway.
Well, and especially when you're a child and you haven't seen as many, so you don't, like, expect them as much as you do as adults.
Certain children.
Certain children.
Horror, but yes.
Yeah. Well, but again, well, it was like,
I would love this though, for sure.
Yeah, but my thought is, if you are going to a Disney movie, right? It's Disney's Haunted Mansion. Like, I don't know if you're checking the rating and you're just like, yeah, of course I can take my kids to see Haunted Mansion, blah, blah, blah. And that's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, and I think that's what gets tough. I mean, obviously, I think the first Pirates was PG-13, probably just for violence and peril alone, I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, like, this... It's a hard territory, because it just feels like it's like, okay, this is supposed to be super family friendly and fun, but then there's also this crazy fan base for the ride that I would say I'm a Haunted Mansion person, but I'm not, let's say my sister, Jamie Ryan, we all know, Haunted Mansion, like, crazy person, right? Like, it's like,
let's not use
religion.
That word. Again, we're using aficionado.
Haunted Mansion aficionado, but like to a level where it's like her religion, right? And she's obsessed with it, right? And there are people out there.
who have
assigned all of this, like, story and all these things to it, right? Like, when you look at the ride and the basis of it, it's super dark, and it actually, from its genesis, has always included the idea that the people riding it are essentially committing suicide at the end, like, it, jumping out of the attic into a graveyard where they are seeing
I did
death.
Not know that is what the plot of the ride is.
When you watch it, you go down backwards out of the attic of the mansion and end up in a graveyard. It's like, I mean, it just...
And you're in the attic with Constance. So it's like...
Oh.
You're jumping out of it because you need to get out. It's like... And that's kind of like... I don't know that it's ever been written in stone. They're like, this is the point. But it's like, when you really look at it, that's what's happening in the ride.
Sure.
And so people have created all these stories and the Constance and all the things. And I felt like this had that really difficult task of trying to please all the people who, like, subscribe to those stories as fact, as, like, canon, if we will.
Yeah.
And then also, I thought they did a really smart thing where they honored those stories for the most part, the ones that I'm aware of anyway, and then they gave all this creative backstory, and while making it a story about new people in the mansion experiencing the things where the stories that everyone already loves exist. They didn't try to adapt those stories, which I thought was really, really, really smart, which Eddie Murphy's version decided to adapt it a little bit.
I don't know,
and there were so many call outs to the ride, just so many. And in some ways, like, tighten it up. You don't have to put, like, literally every shot for shot.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I love the ride.
Well, see, I almost feel the opposite, where I felt a lot of the call outs, I wanted them to last longer, and I would have tightened up, like, the plot. Like, every time we saw a call out to the ride, the dancing in the bar, the guy playing the organ with the skulls, I just wanted it to last a little bit longer, but I felt like they had cut away from him too quickly. And then we got more, the plot that kind of just, the story got stretched a little far. I will say, though, I was thrilled that it was not just another adaptation of The Haunting of Hill House, because that's what always happens with these ghost movies lately. And the first Eddie Murphy was an exact adaptation of that in so many ways, where it was like, let's get creative. And I thought this was kind of new, you know, like, it was incorporating things that were not new, but the story itself felt kind of fresh. I love the idea that Gracie had hired Leota and they had done 100 seances, and that's what opened the gates why all these souls ended up coming in and are trapped in this mansion. Because we've always known that there's 999 souls, room for one more. That's always been the thing, right? But we don't know why there are that many in this mansion.
Yeah, and why are they happy to be there? Because, you know, they're throwing parties with each other and, like, doing that, right? So it's not all tragedy that has caused these souls to be there. So but then I working love in, that.
Right. And then working in, obviously making the Hatbox Ghost a villain, which I'm sure some people didn't love, but working in the idea that he needs you to like willingly kill yourself for his final soul. It works in the mythos from the ride. Like it's just, it was, it's dark territory for like a family movie, but it was, I felt like it was pretty smartly done. I don't know. I was really impressed with that.
So going, I want to talk about the Hatbox
Even
Ghost.
Her in the crystal ball, like making that sort of part
that was
of
fun. Yeah.
I was like very into it. I was like, this is just like a really good job of merging.
There are definitely elements at play. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Jared Leto as the Hatbox. So, you know, I understand that we have used his likeness for the, you know, Crump version, the live human version of him, but I don't think he had any lines. Do we think he recorded the dialogue for like the CG Hatbox?
Oh, he did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, why did you hire Jared Leto of all people? And how did he go method on this is my question. Like, was he living as a ghost for, you know, all the VO sessions? Like, how did he figure out
Jared Leto? Be a method actor, but the one time he plays a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually projected his performance. I don't know if you know
okay.
that. But he did the lines, but I think, I mean, I'm sure they altered it because I don't know he can get that low. But
yeah,
he was the lines. And then
okay,
I loved that. I'll go back to Hatbox, but I love that for the most part, the ghosts that were humanoid form were a mix of practical effects and CGI, which is very Guillermo also. He did that in Crimson Peak. I thought that was really cool. And I will say, Hatbox, sometimes he was full CGI and didn't look very good, but that was Jared Leto in prosthetics, like for when they would do some of those shots and then they would CGI certain things. But he was.
Are you? I. You're not joking. You're. Oh my god.
No, I'm not.
Oh my god.
I'm. Yeah.
Why? Why? Just only because they're basically like the CGI over it. Like with no disrespect to the team who worked on it, but like you know, what's the point? It was just clearly like that is what stands out about it. You know, like the physicality or whatever you want to say about the rest of the performance. I can't see any of that past the ridiculous like.
Well, CGI and I should say I should take back, I guess I don't know for a fact that there were, that the prosthetics, I guess I take the prosthetic part back, but it might be mocap or something, but it's him. Like it's him and it's, they form the face around him.
Sure. But still, either way, you know, there's so much layering over it that I'm just like,
oh, totally.
Okay. Yeah.
That was one thing, like I was talking to my sister about it a little bit, but she was like, yeah, he could have looked better as far as not just CGI, but his design.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that like his design in real life is... Yeah. Skeleton face, you know, and it's like, well,
there's not a lot of distinguishing features, right?
Yeah, but this guy, he had a face to work over, so it was kind of like a little puffy, you know. but for the most part, I looked past that, and I was just like, I thought he was a cool presence and menacing, and I liked the story they gave him. I loved that it felt like a nod that in his backstory, the whole Crump Manor type thing, that looked like Florida's Haunted Mansion.
I was so excited about that. I was like, oh my God, I hope they put something Crump there.
Oh, because I'm learning so much.
There's more to the ride there, but same story ride. It's just a different mansion for the different area because ours is New Orleans.
Well, because ours is New Orleans and theirs isn't.
So if you were going to go franchise this out, you wouldn't then go give the Florida version its own new story because it's the same story as ours, right? Mm. So it's like, I thought it was a nice little nod that was tied in still, that was his.
I was kind of, once we saw that, I wanted to see Phantom Manor, but then, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I have a whole treatment for Phantom Manor taking place in Belle Epoque, France that I would love, but Disney would never, because that part is not a comedy.
Don't let them hear that.
These are like comedies and stuff, but like Phantom Manor is not a comedy. And so I just don't know that Disney would ever make it.
I mean, if they won't make Guillermo's, you know, I don't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's something about this that didn't gel for me. And maybe I'm in no way, shape, or form the target audience for this. But I do want to call out Lakeith Stanfield. Felt like he was in a different movie in that he was like putting in some capital A acting, and I felt so bad that he was like getting bogged down by like all this other stuff.
He was doing. He was. Acting,
yeah.
I mean, he's always great, but it was, yeah.
With the grief and everything, I was like, "Whoa,
yeah." But the overall tone of it did not feel like it was,
yeah. But
you know, maybe like a version of it went in that direction. But
it's funny because it definitely gave me. Oh my god, I'm gonna forget the actor's name. In the beginning, a Thor Christian Bale vibes.
Yeah. Where he's in this like Shakespearean tragedy, and then everyone else is like, derp, derp, I'm like, what am I doing? The ghosts.
But see, that's why I was like, if you just gave this script another pass, it was like, because sometimes, like when he was talking about his wife and finally revealing it and all, and then Danny DeVito's like, God, what was her cholesterol? Like there were moments where the levity, his seriousness was then broken by the levity that was brought in, but it felt appropriate and like nice. Like I was crying and then I was smiling because he was laughing, and that those moments were wonderful. But there were other times where it felt disjointed because he was in a serious story and they weren't. It was like, oh,
there was a lot of like exposition dumps too, mm-hmm. which is like not my favorite storytelling, you know. But I like knowing the backstories. So it was
can we talk about the scariest thing in this entire movie?
Sure.
Rosario Dawson's wig.
Oh. I was going to say, it was someone's wig. I was like, whose wig was it? It was Rosario, yeah. It was terrifying, yeah.
They did her so dirty. I was just like, who?
So dirty.
What happened here?
So dirty, because she is a very attractive woman. Like, why did they give her that weird hair?
Well, they were like, they gave her good hair at the end.
You're a mother, so you must be matronly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And she clearly was a cool chick. You know what I mean? Like, and I did like the reversals of like her being like, yeah, I'm not going to stay here then. Okay, let's, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then they had to, you know, tie that into the ride, which I loved. And
well, the ghost will follow you home thing. It was so cool how they like did that. And I loved the Mariner thing. I loved how he became a character without even ever really seeing him. And it was like,
yeah, that was,
taking
that, that
him
was
to the sea at the end. I was laughing. Yeah. I was like, I love that. The tater tot.
Very good penmanship, I'd like to add.
Yeah, I
loved it. Yes, he did. He had nice penmanship. Yeah.
His steam. Yeah. Moisture penmanship was superb.
The only time I jumped was when the tarantula was on top of the hatbox skull.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to happen because I saw that in the trailer and I still jumped.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Because I hate spiders.
I know you hate spiders. I just don't remember.
I thought the first haunting, they did a good job with the suspense and everything. So I was like involved, but I wasn't like jumping or anything.
Yeah. I acknowledge I was still scared of the jump scares. I was like, no. Maybe just that first one, but you know, I'm honestly very happy to hear that the two of you liked it, because I had serious concerns after seeing it. So perhaps I was just being overzealously like defensive of it. I was like, oh no. Or maybe you've been burned by the other version, or at least Matt has, and therefore
Well, you know, and at the end of the day, even if the story was terrible and everything was bad about it, which I don't think it was, but if it was, they still nailed, like, tonally, they nailed the look, the feel of the ride. Nailed the designs for the most part of a lot of stuff. And even down to, like, not to knock the Eddie Murphy one too much, but even down to just, like, you know, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I didn't think having her as Leota was anything we, like, needed. I didn't think she really transcended and became Leota. She was very, like, I liked it, whatever. But her head in that ball, while she doesn't look like Leota in the face, and the makeup was kind of questionable, I thought the hair, the color scheme, everything was like, this is, you are designing this after this ride. Whereas like Jennifer Tilly was a face with a bunch of green smoke around her, like, green. And it's not, it never has Leota been green. Like never. Just stuff like that, where I was like, they seemed to take notes from the ride this time. Mm-hmm. The mansion looked like the mansion. And the first time you see it was the same angle you see it as when you walk onto the line.
I did notice really that, thoughtful. Actually. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it felt like it was like a direct, like, hey, FYI, we will be paying homage to everything about this ride. And they did.
Yeah.
Like, we've actually that were written it. We like it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, here you go.
Like, the only things that I felt, the only thing they left out, really, because it was also fun when you're familiar with the ghosts in the graveyard to be like, oh, there's the mummy. Oh, there's the opera singer, like, pointing out the different ones.
Fun. Yeah.
But they left out the bus, the singing bus. I don't know why.
I know.
The five guys that are like, and I was like, huh. I thought we'd at least see something, but
like, I don't know why we wouldn't see them, because usually they're, but maybe no, because the movie was,
they're just one of the they're one of the iconic pieces of the ride. Like when you think of it, they're like, you thought of five things from that ride, they are one of them.
And they did like other things.
I don't know if anybody that's
like the candelabra in the hallway and like the, you know.
Yeah, I would argue if you're familiar with the ride, like that's of the things you're going to call out, you're going to list five things, they're most likely on it. I would argue that.
I am going to challenge on that one, mostly because I did not remember what you were talking about until I'm just saying, like, the average citizen who's only ridden it like a few times or whatever, you know, like, I don't know if that hit, maybe top 10, but not, I think top five are like Leota, Hatbox Ghost, Ballroom Scene, Hitchhiking Ghosts, and I was like, honestly, maybe the Candelabra, just because it's like the first thing. No, it's
not. But, well, also, honestly, Hatbox Ghost, I mean, he's only been there now for like maybe 10 years. I mean, he was in it at the beginning and they took it and he never worked. So Florida's never had him.
Like, oh, really?
Never been.
They're getting him.
In the Murphy movie.
They announced earlier this year they were finally going to get him.
Yeah, I think
it's so funny. Again, like, I feel like this is a peek beyond the veil into the world of, you know, the other side of, you know, haunted. Because we've talked about the ride and stuff before, but you never having to go into like the backstory details. Usually, it's like, oh, well, you know, not everyone, but you know, we know the thing about every year they have to add a different thing for the Tim Burton stuff and that stuff. But we don't talk about like the lore of the actually talking. I'm sorry. The number one thing that you would name for a haunted mansion is the elevator.
I was going to say the stretching room. Yeah.
Yeah. That to me, they did dirty. Cause I was like, what is this sequence?
Yeah. I mean, I think didn't want to be so literal, but like.
I appreciated the intention behind it. I did not appreciate how it looked and how it played out, but I appreciated the idea that we did take it literally and it was stretching and it was like, leading with they were teasing the whole go up there and hang yourself type of thing. Like I was like, I appreciated the intention. It just, I didn't think it like landed.
Agreed, but it like, it just looked like what was guiding the things up and like,
like suddenly the rules of physics don't apply. And there was just a lot of also the incorporation of him being like, I invented a camera that like science is involved. I was like, please don't. We don't need to make this science-y. Like, it's a movie about a haunted mansion based on a ride at Disneyland. Like, it's okay. We can suspend the disbelief further. Like,
you could have thought of any number of reasons to need these people to come to this mansion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it didn't have to be that he invented it. But it's interesting because when you look at, we talk about Crimson Peak being kind of like probably Guillermo's response to not making Haunted Mansion and Spirit Photography's in that also. So it's this weird thing where it feels like, wonder how many of these ideas were a part of the original treatment before Simeon even came on board and then kind of inherited and kind of kept certain things. I just kind of wonder. I want to be in the room and kind of know.
I hadn't thought of that at all, but now I'm really curious.
I'm curious. I want to know what Guillermo thinks of this
version. I do too.
I don't think he
but I want to know what he thinks, unvarnished, which we're never going to hear. Best friends.
Because he was going to, Hatbox Ghost was going to play a very big part in his film too, because Doug Jones was supposed to play him. And it was supposed to be like.
See, that would have made sense.
Would have been amazing.
But that was something that was like, you know, I mean, his poster, his announcement poster at Comic-Con, I remember being there. Was the Hatbox Ghost face. That was the whole thing. And it was like Hatbox Ghost was very newly coming to the ride and everything. But he had been part of the legend of it all.
Of the ride for a long time.
People know he was like a player in the original ride, but just the animatronic would never work. So they just took him out.
So they ended up pulling it.
But it was a big deal. He was returning and I felt like it was going to be revolving around the movie and all these things. And it probably would have been a good success for them, but I don't know.
Who knows? We may never know. We can also hope to know someday.
maybe.
Maybe when we all befriend Oscar winner Guillermo del Toro.
exactly.
Or Justin Simeon, you know, Justin might know. I don't know. Either way. So my ending question about Haunted Mansion is, would you recommend this to not Haunted Mansion aficionados?
Yeah, it's... I think my parents would find it. They like Disney, right?
Okay.
And they're not very picky about plot or things like that. So I think they would enjoy enough of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because I don't know if I would recommend it to a bunch of people, but I wouldn't caution most people away from seeing it if they were interested. Like I wouldn't be like, oh, don't do it, it's not good or something. Like if you have any interest at all from the trailer, I'd be like, yeah, watch it. It's super cool. It's fun. It's cute. It's whatever, you know. But I don't know that I'm not texting like, oh my God, go see Haunted Mansion.
Sure. You know? Meanwhile, I'm proactively warning people. And like anybody who's like a super fan, I'm like, yeah, whatever, live your best life. Like, go do it.
Yeah,
You know, I would like to offer an exchange, and I said this in my review, Muppets Haunted Mansion instead. I think that's a million times a better thing. I think they did a better job. But moving on briefly, I want to talk about, just as a juxtaposition, Talk to Me, which is I thought a very scary movie, but I am not the litmus test for it because I was scared by that stupid beginning of Haunted Mansion. Jackie has not seen it yet for context, but Matt, am I right? Was this a scary movie? Is just the crux of the question.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't leave afraid. But
no,
I
wouldn't
don't.
Expect you to feel afraid. Like, yeah.
I often don't, yeah. But I loved it. I felt it was a nice, kind of fresh, original feeling. Entry into the horror world, because I'm a big horror junkie, and often we get a bunch of regurgitations of the same kind of thing over and over and over and over, and it's like, I'll watch them. It's kind of like people's action movies where it's just like, oh, now someone's jumping out of a plane onto a truck and there's a car chase. Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like, oh great, there's a ghost chasing someone, or someone's possessed, or someone's getting murdered. Like, that's my thrill.
Yeah.
And this felt like, it felt fresh. I don't know, like, to me it was like I hadn't seen it before.
Okay, and that's good to know, yeah. Because, like, I don't have the sort of foundational repertoire for it. I was like, well, I'm scared to death right now. Did I tell you, too, the story of the Comic-Con room?
You might have told me, but I don't remember.
No, I don't.
Okay, so I saw this movie, and this isn't a spoiler. It's just,
oh,
it's
you did, yeah.
Okay, did I do it on the podcast, or did I tell you after?
We can talk about it after, I think.
Okay, so I will tell the story now because it's now relevant, but I saw it at Comic-Con. And, it was one of those, it was a two-bedroom, and the mirror was right across from my bed. And this is not, there's nothing to do with anything in it. It's just the lighting of the room and the dark and the whatever. And I was, like, originally on the side of the bed that was across from the mirror. And then I, like, looked up as I was going to bed after going to see this movie and, like, going to a party after. And I was like, fuck no. I just, like, shimmied as far as I could to the other edge of the bed, and then just kept waking up and being like, no. 4 days of that. Just 4 days of being like, oh no.
Amazing.
Except for the one night I actually passed out and, like, went to sleep. But I've been terrorized by this movie. No, it's not fun. No,
part of what I love about horror is, like, when it does get me and it scares me, like, I get a thrill out of, like,
oh my God,
fear.
I hate, like, it more than anything.
Like, I'm the person who, I've probably told you this, a lot of people know this, but I'm not a huge fan of The Conjuring, but I was really hopeful about that movie. And so much so that I went to an early screening of it, and I lived in my little Koreatown apartment. I unscrewed every single light bulb from my apartment because I was hoping that it was going to scare me. And then when I came home, I'd be, like, terrified and couldn't turn on the light. Like, I wanted the fear. I was like, and then I disliked it so much and I didn't think it was scary at all that I came home and I was just in a pissy mood and I went to bed and didn't even screw the light bulbs. But anyway, okay, I was just tapping all night. But that's the kind of, like, person I am. And so, yeah, I could totally see sticking with people and scaring people in that way. And I'm so happy for you.
But meanwhile, I am miserable and not sleeping. So thank you for that. But we will have to revisit once Jackie has seen it.
Yeah,
because there are, I don't even know actually if I want to revisit it, because then I have to discuss it in detail. And I will, like,
I texted you when you got out, and you're like, no, I'm trying to go to bed. We'll talk about it on the podcast. Yeah.
I kid you not. Like, literally, I mean, Jackie, you've seen the trailer, right? Thankfully, like, you know, the way the human mind works, I can at least be like, cool, I have not shaken the hand of an inanimate possessed object lately. Yeah. I should be fine, right? Right? Like, and that's why that stupid jump scare in Haunted Mansion scared, because, like, there's no, like, you can't stop them. They're just there. Yeah. And I was like, damn it. I don't like this either.
There are two type of people in the world. There's that. And then there's me, who came out, and the first thing I did after texting you was go to A24's site to see if you could buy it.
I was going to say, the first thing you did is went and bought every, like, jewelry hand model, like, you know, mannequin mechanic.
Literally went on there to see if they were selling a replica of it, because I would like to have that.
Oh my God.
And try it. So
we will discuss whether or not one would try it after Jackie has seen it. I know the answer already. Jackie will be our tiebreaker, because you know how the two of us are going to pick. You know I'm absolutely not shaking that damn hand. And Matt will be like a death grip with it. So we will return to Talk to Me when we reconvene. But moving on to another good week for Matt, a Secret Invasion. This is really a Matt heavy week.
This is my week. Yeah.
Once again, I waited until right before we recorded to watch because I just didn't care. Jackie, did you care by the end?
No.
Okie dokie.
But I Matt, hope that it was everything Matt wanted.
Yeah. Matt, are you delightfully satisfied by this film?
And it was most things I wanted. And honestly, like, I felt like it was for me, there were a couple little loose ends that I kind of wish got tied up tighter. But for the most part, I felt like it was one of the, and I'm sure this will get knocked by you both, but if you could consider the entire series as a whole, and just consider the, if you objectively could think about if you liked it, I felt like it was one of the more cleanly kind of realized Disney Plus Marvel shows we've had so far. Like, where it kind of came and then it did what it did and it ended and it didn't, like, I liked that it didn't, the stakes didn't become insanely huger than they needed to. It wasn't, didn't turn into a battle for the world like Ms. Marvel did. Like, it just kind of, like, it is a battle for the world, but I guess we want to destroy
genocide.
This.
Like,
no, it is, but it's still a human level kind of, like, person thing. I don't know. It just, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this or control the universe or control whatever this. It's just like it, or like, I liked Falcon Winter Soldier, but by the end of it, it kind of was like, okay, I wish this, like, kept what it was doing better instead of kind of going all over the place. This felt like it kept very consistent for me.
Okay.
And it sounds like for you too, you guys consistently didn't like it, but yeah. I just mean it felt more cleanly wrapped up than I think a lot of these series end up being. And I really liked that, but I am thrilled that we have the Super Scroll, and I loved everything about that because it didn't look great, but
no,
half these things usually don't. So I'm not going to knock it on that more than I knock anything else, but
sure.
It didn't look worse than any of these other shows, but the way they were like, okay, this arm is Abomination and this arm is a Frost Giant and this or whatever. And this, that's what they do in the comics. Like, that's what Super Scroll does. And I loved it. I was like, oh my God. And it feels like it opened the door for, now we know what Fury is doing in Captain Marvel or in Marvels, which I think this will come into effect in that, I think. But I also love that they didn't just solve the Scroll problem. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't just end it. And I really think
they made it much worse.
Those, I really think this is one of those storylines that, I think this is one of the storylines that's going to this confusing future that MCU is going in that we don't know what it is. I think this one has to go somewhere because it's like, well, we can't just pretend. You know, that it feels like it actually has ramifications. I appreciate
that
is what I'm trying to say.
I think I only have one takeaway from this series, and that is Nick Fury has been fucking an alien for a long time.
Sure has.
And will continue to do so. And good for him. No judgment here. But
no judgment. Live your truth. Whatever it is. You know?
Well, I loved her as a character, so I was excited.
Yeah. No, she's great, but when they had that, like, really awkward kiss.
The kiss was a little much.
They, like, extended. I was like, I don't need this. Like, we don't. This isn't necessary. Like, you've made your point.
Well, what's funny is, like, it was less about, for me at least, it was less about, like, having a problem with, like, the visual of him kissing a Skrull and more about the fact that they were clearly really awkward about it.
Yeah.
So it was like, if you just actually.
The aesthetics were just like, you know, the teeth and the.
I bet she didn't really know where her parts were.
I bet her mouth wouldn't open that wide. Like, you know.
I'm shorter.
Like, that's why I was like, you don't need to make this a makeout. Just like a romantic smoochy smooch or something.
I mean, it was backlit. You could have, like, leaned into that and just, like, leaned into the kiss and we didn't have to see the detail.
No,
like, you could
we just. Saw. In
front of it. Like, they could have done it in a way that was, like, cute. Yes, we're kind of like, aw. You know.
Not cute.
But I also thought it was cool or interesting that Rhodey has presumably now been a Skrull since Civil War.
Yeah, like, I guess that's what I was.
And so it's kind of cool to, like, be able to, like, oh my God, I want to go back and, like, I'm not going to. But look at and all of his involvement as a through a different lens now, which is kind of cool. Yeah, how it went backwards and affected things that we already knew.
Yeah. If you're not going back, the rest of us are definitely not going back.
Well, the idea of going back through the MCU is just too exhausting, especially with
that's what I'm saying. Like, you are, I think, you know, both of you are generally more willing to rewatch things than I am, but, like, that if you are the most out of us, and so that's not happening.
Yeah, I did it, like, at peak Pandy times where
sure.
And I was like, I'm just gonna go through and watch them, but, like, too much has happened since, and that means that going back would mean, like, now we're watching these shows and stuff too, which I'm not really interested in doing so for most of them, some of them, but, like,
no.
Honestly, yeah, I just think I've never done the full rewatch, I don't think.
It was fun, but now that it's so aimless, you know, I was talking about this, like, today with a neighbor where I was like, everything through Endgame, and I was already a little fatigued by the time we got Endgame, and I don't love it like a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But it felt so intentional. They kind of built their bread here, like they Star Wars'd it, right? Where it was like they franchised this in a way where it was like, this is all connected and matters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now they're just so, like, as we talked about many times, throwing everything into the wind and just deciding what they're going to do. And we have no idea really where everything's leading yet. Mm-hmm. It feels messy in the way that comics kind of feel messy, but it works for comics because you don't read every comic. You read the ones you like and you want to.
Exactly.
But this, they built this in a way where you feel like you have to watch everything to keep up. And it's too much.
This is the closest I've come to like not watching something, because I waited until almost a week after it came out for a show that is generally like, you know, or just like a franchise that is spoiler, you know, spoilers ruin everything. And I was just like, there's not consequences. The only thing I thought maybe would happen is we'd get like a Brie Larson cameo.
Yeah, like a cameo or something.
Yeah. But
I kind of wondered if we would.
I didn't care that, you know, I was like, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I wondered if we would, but I was okay by the end that we didn't. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I always want a Brie Larson cameo, but like, you know.
Oh, I just saw like a little bit of chatter about the show and I was like, oh, maybe it was that like, you know, another movie character showed up. But they didn't.
I weirdly don't see chatter for it anywhere, which is part of the reason why I keep forgetting to watch it because.
Mm. But I think that speaks to the show. Like,
yeah.
You know, I see stuff, but it's less like, yeah, it's less people bringing stuff up and more just like articles that cross my path. But like, yeah, I don't know.
But I feel like WandaVision was like water cooler chatter, you know, and this is like, okay.
Yeah, it's hard because I also think like WandaVision, by the time that came, it was such a like, desperate for content and like excited.
Yeah. Agreed. Like, but I still think it was the start.
Of that year.
I mean, I still love WandaVision hard.
Oh, no, it's great, but yeah. That's not to downplay it. I just mean,
agreed. I think we were all desperate for more. It was a great point in, you know, it explored a backstory for characters that we did know and love and have, you know what I mean, and stuff. So it was.
Well, it was the start of like, how much will these shows matter and play into the films? And now we've had so many that it's like, I feel like the last couple or few, I haven't really seen much. Online, but this one probably the least amount. I'd say, you guys are right about that for sure. I think people are just losing interest. It's very, because it's not defining a direction.
Again, the point is the lack of consequences is just like,
It's not setting out what it wants to do yet. And that's why I at least appreciate that we know, like we knew WandaVision by the end was leading into Multiverse of Madness, which was cool. But this is like, I'm glad at least it's leading into Marvel's, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much Skrulls are going to play a part in that, but we know that. I mean, Fury's going up there to negotiate a peace deal with the Kree right now. We know that the villain in the next Marvel's film is a Kree person or a Kree alien. So I have to imagine that's what he's doing when we meet him in Marvel's and that's all involved, which is kind of cool. And I feel like Super Skrull, now she's working with MI6, which is neat. But that might eventually play into eventual Fantastic Four if we're ever going to get news about that. it should.
Way. Yeah.
I forgot to say last week, too, this is a total aside, but I forgot to say when we were talking about Oppenheimer that I actually would really like Cillian Murphy as Dr. Doom. I just had to say
that. Oh, I could see that.
Oh.
I would salivate over that. Especially after seeing him as Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And the way he was in that. I was like this, playing this like weird kind of genius who's very kind of like socially
colder,
awkward. And very,
yeah.
I was like, he could totally be Victor.
And he'd be a really good. I feel like he hasn't been in any, has he?
No, I don't think so. He's been Scarecrow in Dark Knight, but that's...
Oh, yes, okay.
And Batman Begins or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, has he been in any of the, you know...
But that's like totally different universe.
It's so funny because like those are, you know, a comic book series, but I feel like we don't think about them in that the same way we think about it, just because they like so stand alone.
Well, once they got Ben Affleck, it was kind of like they weren't even counting that as part of their DCEU.
Right. But to their credit, I do think they are on a different level than... A lot of the other superheroes. The other superheroes. So, and not all of them. Not all of them are created equal. But anyway. Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah, I would love that. I just thought of it randomly when I was watching it and I forgot to bring it up. And now that we're talking about Marvel, I was like, oh. I don't know that there's any, I don't think there's been talk about it. I just wish.
Wishful thinking. Theories.
I'm willing it into existence.
Yeah. You know? I think Marvel knew what they were doing when they led with WandaVision, though, because they were like, this is the best one we've got. And then they're like, you're going to keep watching.
Have hope that they're building towards something.
I mean, I have hope, but in terms of the series, I'm like, you know, we're all going to watch Agatha, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes. And I know Matt's going to watch Daredevil.
I mean.
I know that. I haven't watched it yet, but the Loki trailer dropped today. Apparently,
I haven't watched it either.
Yeah, actually, I think we will all watch Echo and watch it. I liked Echo; she was good.
I'm definitely gonna watch Echo. I've heard things just online that like a lot of reshoots and things, and like it might be in trouble. But I don't know. I adore her as a character in the comics, and so I'm hopeful. But.
Well, I thought the actress on the show on Hawkeye was great, so I was just like,
"She was, yeah."
Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I hope they do her well, and then, well, like they do her well by writing something good for her.
Yeah, they do right by her.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm the most excited about is Agatha. I guess.
There's also Ironheart in between Echo and Agatha. Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. I liked Riri a lot, and
I liked Riri in the comics a lot.
But I liked her in the movie too. I was like, I thought she was good. So I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to that. And
I thought she was fine. It was just like a superfluous storyline for what it was. It was very clearly like a, hey, we're going to do this so we can seed us, you know, and this is the problem where they're like, oh, does it matter? Does it not matter? We're going to give this person an intro in the movies. Like, are they more important now? You know, it's that lack of clarity. I think that is problematic at this point. I'm looking at the release dates. I'm like, oh God, it's going to be so many more series.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, I think out of all of us, I think I liked Loki the least, but the new trailer left much to be desired for me.
I think, in retrospect, I like Loki the least out of all of us at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, I do love Miss Minutes.
Because I disliked the show. Like, I was like, I disliked it. Like, I would never watch it again.
I don't think I'd ever watch it again.
But either. I don't know. I would
watch it again, but I really hated the ending. So
yeah,
it's just,
I think the ending
it's hard because
yeah.
I didn't hate it, you know. I mean, yeah, but I really hated the ending. So it's just,
I'm just so done with this character in the MCU. Like, I was so done with him before we got the show, and the show just made me more done with him. And I didn't like Sylvie, and I just didn't like it. I was like, please stop this. But then we're getting a season two, and it's like, I don't know. But I'm so with everything. I think part of it too is with everything being all over the place and no clear direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided and learned that the timeline multiverse direction is the one that I'm finding the least interesting at this point. Mm-hmm. And so to having another show go more into that, I'm just like, I don't care, please.
No,
like, I'm interested in where Thunderbolts is going. I'm now interested in this Kree with the Kree stuff, but the Skrull invasion. I'm interested in like the stuff on Earth that like is more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Than this,
the time stream stuff is fucking.
I mean,
weird.
I think the other problem with Loki season two is that, you know, Kang was such a part of the ending of that. Like, are we? I assume they didn't reshoot.
Well, and that's
thing.
Part
yeah.
of the reason they why.
Show
I
think...
yeah. Well, we're gonna see. Yeah, I'm not particularly excited for that, but
obviously that was already filmed. But it's like if you're gonna move forward without altering anything, it's like, okay, so you're committing to using.
We're committing, yep.
And that was a thing where, I mean, we talked about it, but like at the end of Quantumania, it was like you made the decision to show that every form of Kang was Jonathan Majors.
Yeah.
So,
when really this could have been a very easily solved problem.
Oopsie.
We hired some randoms.
Yeah.
We could have just like made this work.
Yep. It'd have to be a recast at that point, so. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. They'd have to pull a you know, roadie, ironically.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, I'm glad you enjoyed the series.
I am too.
Yeah. No. Yeah. All right. Well, we're watching what? What else has everyone been watching?
I started Hijack on Apple TV Plus.
Was it good? I haven't tried.
I've only did one episode so far, but. Yeah, it's decent. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it for anyone who has any sort of like anxieties about flying.
That's
for sure. But
that's me. I don't have anxiety about flying, but I don't like watching things about.
Yeah, like
I don't want to invite it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like attract anxiety about it because it very much like before the real story even gets started with what's going on, even just everything, the way it builds everything, and like as they're like, you're waiting to take off, I guess it's, you're watching it knowing something's going to happen, but
yeah,
it's called Hijack, but it feels weirdly like there's something about, I don't have anxieties with flying really nowadays, but there's something about the hustle and bustle of everyone loading onto the plane while you're sitting there and all the noises and whatever, that feels stressful. It just feels like until you're in the air, it just feels uneasy. And like
no one likes it until they close the doors and we all understand where our little spaces are.
So it's just chaos. It's too many people. It's just like, and it nails the feeling you feel. And I'm like, while it's showing all that, and I'm like, oh, I don't like that. But it,
I when I, my trip relatively like a couple months ago, I can no longer go by when they close those doors, because then they had to reopen the doors. Because usually when they close the doors, like that's when the pilots start getting paid. And so there it's like, let's go. And let's go. You know, there was, it was a series, like thankfully I got home eventually, but it was a you know, series of mishaps that I was like, no, you close the doors. Those are the rules.
Yeah, like, those are the rules. The rules are simple and finite. I agree. But yeah, it's decent. I think I'll give more episodes and see if I get super into the stories, because it's going to be very character driven. You know what I mean? But speaking of character driven, I finished Crowded Room, ended and thought it was good. I feel like it needs a season two if they're going to keep going into the real story about this guy. But I don't know if they are. like, because it, yeah, I don't know. But but it was, you know, I liked the way they did what they did in it. And then, of course, still watching After Party. And I have to say, every episode is my new favorite. Like, I'm loving the season. Like, this last one.
Yeah, I really...
It's so hard.
I finally caught up with it.
And yay!
I like all the different, like...
Oh, good. Well,
genres and stuff. Yeah. That they're, like, it's just fun.
Well, in this last one, because I loved the crime noir one, but then this Hannah one, when she was, like, doing the party and it was, like, French themed, like, oh, are you French? She goes, no, I just love their culture. They are a... What did she say? They are a... what was it? Something about mean. They're not cruel, but something mean and beautiful people or something, and I love them.
Oh, was this week Wes Anderson week?
It was like this, like, kind of 70s style, not 70s, but like it was Hannah, the when she reveals that she's having the affair with the bride, the sister of the groom.
It's 100% a Wes Anderson.
We've all seen it, yeah.
No, okay, I know, but for other people. And that means I have to include a spoiler alert in there.
All right.
Yeah. So it's 100% a Wes Anderson episode.
Oh, okay. Is that what it's
going for? They're paying homage to. Yeah. It's very, because I think I saw it like relatively recently after I'd seen whatever his most recent one was, and I was just like, yeah. Because I did not like that movie.
No, she says they are an unkind and attractive people. I loved it. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but it was, I was like, oh, they did a very good job capturing the Wes Anderson vibe. Yeah, but all right, Jackie, what have you been watching? You caught up on the After Party. Very excited for that.
Yeah, I finished Potomac, so I'm kind of adrift at the moment. I don't really know what to do with myself.
The answer is Match Me Abroad. That'll get you 12 episodes.
Match Me Abroad? What's that?
It's a reality dating show. It feels very similar to like the 90 Day vibe. But it's a bunch of Americans like going to international matchmakers, and then you follow their dates.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I caught up on before the 90 days because I hadn't watched any of the season.
Ooh. Oh, so did you get to Toilet Man? No, he's the couple, like they're always on the FaceTime together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe it's the other way, but either way, I had like.
Oh, I haven't watched the other way. So maybe that's what. Maybe. I don't know.
The Other Way is also spectacular. So you have two things to watch now.
Yeah.
Which, if y'all can't tell, that's what I've been watching. There's also a new season of UK.
I know. I don't think I've ever watched the UK ones. So I could.
There's only two seasons. Like, this is the second season that's currently airing. So there's not a lot of it, but the second season is a lot better than the first.
Yeah. So not much, I guess.
I watched The Beanie Bubble on Apple TV.
I did want to watch that.
It was not as good as I was hoping, because I love Beanie Babies and I like the lore around them, and it's a forbidden word in our house because my mom hates them so much. In fact, I was telling her at dinner and she was cursing Ty Warner's name. She's like still so actively mad about it. Yeah, but I was hoping for more out of it, and it just, ironically, I had sort of similar criticisms to it that I had to Oppenheimer. I was like, this, the disjointed story, like timelines, doesn't work well, and they don't introduce the compelling stuff until way too late in the movie. And it's supposed to be about these three women who are sort of the not as featured people who helped make Beanie Babies what they were, and yet it still ends up focusing so much on the male character. And I was like, well, what's like, I know you're trying, but like, And then I started watching a new Korean drama called King of the Land.
Oh my God, I started watching that too.
I like it. It's cute. They're all very similar. Like,
and oh my God, like 90-minute episodes. So like, I do need breaks.
I am not gonna lie. Sometimes I watch them on my computer at 1.25 speed because I read fast.
Yeah, that's smart.
There's a lot of
90 minutes is just a lot.
And it's a lot of like replayed clips, you know, where they'll like revisit the same thing from three different angles in slow-mo. Five times.
The humor is like, I'm like, all right, guys. Yeah, we get it. You were making a joke.
It's a stylistic difference, I think. I've been watching a lot of Korean shows over the last year, and I'm like,
I feel like it's like a cultural thing. I
think it's just like the film style. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's how they do it. It's very anime, actually, which is what's funny. Or like they'll also like go up on people's faces and you get like this, like crazy reaction shot.
I keep trying to figure out like the production aspects of those where I'm like, do they make them do like multiple takes for close-ups and like, are, you know, is it different setups or are they literally like using the same footage and then like zooming it, you know? I'm fascinated by, I want to know what the behind the scenes of like the editing and production are on these K-dramas. Yeah. And then the very last thing I watched is the Steph Curry doc on Apple TV Plus. It was an Apple TV week for me. It was very good.
Oh, good.
Even as not like a sports person, I love the Warriors, but like, you know, I like sports documentaries. I don't necessarily love watching certain live sports, but it was it was interesting and obviously Bay Area representation.
I love a documentary.
Yeah, I recommend it. A Matt heavy week this week. Win for Matt. All right. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a rating or a review or even consider subscribing.